Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, many of you know this gentleman as the auctioneer par excellence, but he has another job. He's a state representative. His name is Randy Ligon. And he represents District Number 43, and I believe this may be the first time we've had you on since you got elected, and you got a handle as to what was going on down there.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Manny. You let me come by right after the election, and that was fun. But I guess now I'm supposed to try to contribute to the conversation because back 2 years ago about I couldn't tell you much about what was going on. I recall you saying, "Did you know where the bathroom was?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, I figured that out." But
so after one term, which you're not quite finished one full term yet,
right?
But after 2 6-month term sessions, what do you think? Is it more than you thought the job was going to be when you decided you were going to run?
Well, number one, it's a great honor to serve the people of District 43 and be part of the York County delegation. It's a lot more. It's more because now with emails and texts, everybody, when they have a thought about something that needs to be done, they're pretty quick to fire off a text or an email, and that's fine, but we do get a lot of them, you know. And it's almost overwhelming. Some mornings you wake up and you got 25 emails about potholes or whatever.
Ooh,
but so that part is a little overwhelming, or it's taking time to get used to, you know. But it's a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you like it? And I said, well, it's kind of like being asked to serve as a deacon or an elder in your church or president of your local, you know, club, community club, whatever it is. I don't know that you like it. Liking it's not the right term. It's that you are honored that you and you respect it, and you're so honored that you were chosen. And I certainly have a lot of humility that, and I'm all about the fact that. Anyway, I'm just honored to have been asked.
So you're right in the middle of seeing how the sausage is made.
Yeah, good term.
And what? What are your thoughts now that you've seen the sausage being created?
It's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes, you know, just like your sausage. You buy it already packaged, and, you know, it's delivered to you in a finished form, but there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes. And, you know, York County is so fortunate to have such good leadership like Gary Summerall and Tommy Pope and Senator Clymer. You know, the older guys, Ray Felder, who's my desk mate, who guides me a lot, folks that have got a lot of experience, they are working tirelessly behind the scenes all the time. I'm amazed at how hard Tommy and Gary work for the people of York County and for the state of South Carolina. They want to do what's right for the whole state, and it's easy to kind of try to follow their guidance because I feel good about their guidance. They're good at what they do, and they got a lot of experience.
There you are on your first term of office, and one of the biggest pieces of legislation that I think has come down the pike in a while involved right here in York County, which you represent part of York County, and that is the Carolina Panther Bill. And when you talk about people who had to put a lot of work into getting a piece of legislation done and get that sausage finished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. You just, nobody, including me, I don't know. I know once in a while we'd look over to Gary's desk and he'd be gone, and you'd say, "Where's Gary?" And they'd say, he's working with the Carolina Panthers. He's on a Panther mission to get it done. And, you know, and he's just downstairs meeting with the Panthers in the governor's office. I mean, it's a lot has gone on to get the Panthers here. You know, Mr. Tepper is a great guy. I had a chance to meet him. Rock Hill is going to really gain, and York County will benefit from having the Panthers here. But, you know, it is taking a lot of work, and there's still work to be done, I understand. It's not a quite a 100% deal yet.
Well, and that's my one follow-up question. I mean, when they took that wonderful picture of Tepper holding up the bill down at the Fountain Park in downtown Rock Hill, your face is right there along with everybody else's.
Right.
And it was a big, big, huge day. And, of course, that was just the beginning, because now you had to take that bill, which allowed an industry like the Panthers to receive the same types of benefits and credits that any new industry coming to South Carolina would receive. But then you had to localize it. You had to get it through the city. You had to get it through the county. And as you just referenced, we're still sitting here today, well over a year after the big ceremony, and still waiting.
Still, yeah. And I would certainly hope that we don't let this opportunity get by us. I don't think we will. I heard your interview with Councilman Roddy, Bump Roddy. You know, so I know his thoughts, and that he wants to be sure we get it right, and I respect that. You definitely don't railroad this kind of thing through. We want to get it right. Gary wants to get it right, and Tommy, all of them, I know they want to get it right. The governor wants us to get it right. He expects us to get it right. So, you know, we want them here for a long, long time once they come.
And I would imagine the governor would be one upset head of state if, after all the political capital he put on the line for this bill, and we didn't manage to pull it through. I'm not so sure we would be on the top of his let's do a favor for York County list.
Well, I'm not going there, because I'm confident we're going to get it done.
Smart move. All right. Well, let's talk about your first year down there. You actually kind of defied the odds. You actually had a couple of, you have one piece of legislation that got through, and you got another one that's in the works. Let's take the one that got through, which had
You know, as a freshman legislator, I was excited to get one through. I walked a bill through the House, well, through the Ag Committee. I'm on the Agriculture Committee, Agricultural, Natural Resources, Environmental Affairs. You know, we in that committee, of course, handle a lot of, you know, DNR, for example, is the environmental side of the agriculture side. Last year I managed to came up with an issue, or discovered an issue that I didn't realize, that none of us realized, you know, we're talking about meats in the grocery store and meats, we were talking about the sausage a minute ago, but it's meat can be produced in a lab and in a test tube. And I don't recommend it, but it is legal, and that's fine. We are not trying to stop the science, because the science of cloning meat is something that might help us, you know, a fire burn victim or something. You know, we learn how to clone a skin cell. Yeah. Well, but cloning a T-bone steak is taking it to a different level. And so I wrote a bill that had been written in a few other states, so like 7 or 8 states at the time, where, you know, we're okay if you want to grow meat in a test tube, but you're not going to label it meat and lay it right beside my good Angus beef grown on my farm or somebody else's farm here in the Carolinas. I don't want there to be any mistake about it. When I go to pick up a pound of hamburger meat, I want to know it came from a cow, not out of a test tube. So we managed to push that through the Ag Committee, Subcommittee, Regular Committee, the full floor of the House, got a unanimous vote by the House, took it to the Senate, and they allowed me to come over to the Senate side and speak to subcommittees. We walked it through the subcommittees on the Senate side, no opposition, got it voted in last year, and the governor signed it, I think, about the first week of June. when we got out, just as we got out of session.
So now you represent a lot of the farm community.
I do. Chester County is, you know, the bulk of my District 43 is in Chester County with the Leslie Pine Tuck Golf Course, Leslie up to Dave Law Boulevard on the east side of I-77.
So one of your constituents brought this to your attention about we've got this fake labeling out there. Is that how this all got started?
Well, I had heard about it. I'm one of the few members, actually, in the whole country, they say. I'm one of the few members of a state legislature that are active members in the local state South Carolina Cattlemen's Association and the National Cattlemen's Association. Huh. So I saw the press when Missouri tackled it first, and then Missouri and Texas and I think Oklahoma and North Dakota. Anyway, some of the big cattle growing states. But I, you know, actually my daughter pointed it out to me. Mary Catherine's going to PA school in MUSC. She said, you know, Dad, this doesn't look healthy. this doesn't look too good. And when she pointed it out, I drilled down a little bit harder and realized I think it's, you know, it's anyway, the thought of it is awful to me. But I'm not. We didn't take away the right to do the science.
I got you. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So now the other bill that is still in committee is an interesting one that kind of dropped into your lap when when there was some great big enterprise, illegal enterprise, that got busted up down in Chester County having to deal with turtles?
Turtles and amphibians, as we call it. It's our House Bill 4831, which I co-sponsored with my friend Bill Hickson from Aiken. Bill had a constituent who brought it to his attention. I called DNR first and said, we just discovered, or we arrested, or local law enforcement arrested a guy who was basically an international smuggler, and he was a fugitive who on the run from California and Nevada and Texas, and I don't know the last place they saw him, maybe Mississippi, and he lands in Chester, South Carolina, and he's hiding out on a rural tract of timber in southern Chester County, and they find him with about 400 turtles and a couple of $200,000 in cash. And, you know, that's a problem. That's a red flag, right?
Yeah.
And literally camping in a tent. So who wants
all these turtles?
Yeah. Well, see, he had 400 turtles. They were going to be shipped to China.
China.
The Chinese, for various reasons, they use them in local cultured medicine. Folk medicine is the term, I think. And then they eat them. And then the wealthy Chinese now, like our eastern box turtle, they literally polish the shell and they raise it for looks. You know, like just like you might, you know, your wife might have a pet poodle that she holds in her arm. Well, they have pet turtles.
Oh.
And they, and the more fancier the markings, the, you know, the higher the price. I mean, they say one with a really unusual stripe down his back or something might bring $5,000.
Oh my gosh!
And these turtles are mature. They're just now getting, when we find them, or the age of the actual, well, most turtles is about 10 years old before you see them roaming around. In other words, that's not a baby turtle. That's a 10-year-old turtle because he's just now sexually active at that 10 to 15-year-old bracket. So if you go into a community like happened in Chester, and if you scoop up the easy pickings, which is the ones walking down the road, and the ones we all, you know, try to miss on the highway, well, you take 400 male or sexually active turtles out of a community, you have impacted the balance of nature. And so that's a problem right there. But the bottom line issue was DNR came out, and it was on the cover of the state newspaper. You know, we can't do much about this. We had to get federal fish and wildlife people involved because South Carolina was considered, or is considered, because it hadn't passed yet, it is considered a safe haven for these kind of people, for these smugglers.
Ooh.
And it's also including snakes, certain kinds of snakes. And But anyway, you know, we're not trying to impact anybody's ability as somebody called me and said, well, you know, can I stop eating Cooter stew? No. Yeah, no, have at it. You're welcome to it. But you can't ship your Cooter live to China, you know, or your brown turtle, your snapping turtle, of course. And that.
So this legislation will give the state the authority
right
to make these kinds of arrests on the road.
That's exactly right. We're just, you know, we understand that people are actually flying illegal reptiles into South Carolina, or they say they'll fly them into Atlanta and go pick them up. And if anybody questions them, all they have to say is, oh, I'm not stopping in Georgia, I'm going to South Carolina. And there's no, they can't touch them. So, you know, South Carolina is one of five states with no laws to prohibit this. So, you know, it like I said, it literally fell in my lap. I didn't go looking for a turtle law, but who knew that there was going to be people smuggling turtles, and they all say, oh, go to South Carolina. It's a safe haven for smugglers.
Yeah. So, good legislation. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Withrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Anybody who's anybody knows how it's done. And at the count of three, we're going to say it together. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Well done, everybody. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log in to Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Randy Ligon is with us today from District Number 43, which encompasses a small part of York County, mostly down in the Chester County area. You know, we were talking about agriculture here with the Farm Bill, with the fake meat labeling bill. One of the things that apparently most of us have no concept of is we have a bunch of pretty good agricultural programs going on in our schools.
We really do, Manning. You know, York County is fortunate. Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Clover's got a great program. These are FFA programs I'm mostly talking about, and the ag, you know, the teaching of agriculture and hothouses or nursery, that kind of thing. Turf management, you know, golf course management is a big deal now in South Carolina.
Sure.
We're teaching those kind of skills. This is, ironically, this is National FFA Week. We've got a group of folks coming in, FFA students coming to the State House tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hosting students tomorrow. And I want to take just a minute to remind parents, particularly if you've got a high school or a middle school age child that likes agriculture, we have now what we hope to get officially named is the Governor's School of Agriculture. It is the Della Howe School for Agriculture down in McCormick, South Carolina. And it is like the Governor's School, and we hope to actually get the name changed to the Governor's School. But it's an agricultural school. It looks like a miniature Clemson. Huh. And it's not miniature. It's 1,300 acres.
Whew.
So it is a very, really nice first-class residential facility looking for 10th, 11th graders, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, I think, maybe. But it's just getting started this coming year. I mean, the school has been under renovation. It was used for other purposes, and they closed it down for a few years. But it has belonged to the state of South Carolina since 1797.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a gift to South Carolina. So it's 1,300 acres. I would encourage parents, if you've got a child who wants to be in agriculture in a big way, consider letting him or her go to McCormick to the Della Howe School.
Now, also tomorrow down at the State House, you've got right. this big gathering for...
Grant, tomorrow, Tuesday, February 25th, tomorrow 10 to 3 on the State House grounds is Military Appreciation Day, basically South Carolina Military Department Day, it's called officially, and there'll be military vehicles on display, equipment, demonstrations, interactive and informational booths, and another good opportunity for young people to speak to recruiters and talk to people in the military. You know, South Carolina is a big military state.
Absolutely.
You know, we thank a lot of our military. We are very proud of that. The governor's got a new Veterans Affairs position on his cabinet level position now. This is on the South Carolina National Guard network, Facebook network. So if you want to look it up, but come on down. I'm looking forward to honoring folks tomorrow.
All right. Couple of things that are really becoming pressing. Let's talk very briefly about the hue and cry that's going up not only across the state of South Carolina, but now across the nation about getting these real IDs. Just last week, I've forgotten who it was coming out and saying, look, we're going to have a crisis here come October 1st because people are not getting these real IDs, and we'll jam up the airports like you can't believe if people don't have that or a passport to get on a plane.
Yeah,
so
true, and this is really important, and I think it's part of my job to represent, as I represent people, is to remind them of what's important. And what's important is you need to go get your driver's license upgraded to a gold star status. They put the gold star on there, and you're going to need that to fly anywhere. This isn't about an international flight. This
That's
is
right.
about flying from, you know, Charlotte to Myrtle Beach. You need this done. And it is, so far, if we hold to it, you know, your license isn't any good for flying after October 1st, 2020, which will be here before we know it.
Yeah, and what you'll need to have is a passport in its place. And if you don't have a passport, you're out of luck.
Yeah, so you really need to get this done. And I'm afraid we're going to see long lines at DMV about September.
Yep. So. Well, that'd be terrible. Mm. All right. So the governor has thrown out his budget proposal on how he could spend an additional, what was it, $1.8 billion in new tax money. It's incredible. One of the things that is interesting to me is he wants to give back. Last year he gave back $50 per taxpayer. And now this year he wants to give $100 per taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you don't take that $128 million, which is what that is going to break out to, and put that towards the $120 million that you've already devoted, or he's devoting, to lowering the income tax rate from 7% to 6.8%. Why don't you take the $128 million, put it to that, and lower it to like 6.5%, which is going to be a lot more for most people than $100?
Well, you know, it's a good question. There's It's a political answer, though.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. You know, the governor actually wanted $250 to go back to everybody. This is the House version of the bill because, you know, in the House version, we think 100's enough, and we're not going to mail a check, but we're going to give you an income tax credit, which, you know,
saves money.
We saved $700,000, I think, in not mailing checks. In this example, we would. But lowering the tax rate is important, but it's all about a compromise sometimes because the governor wanted 250, remember. We hopefully got him down to agree to 100.
Right. I still say somebody ought to look at that question because I wonder how much more you can lower it if you took this 128 and added it to the 120 that's being proposed. You'd have, you know, $250 million. That you could put towards lowering the tax rate.
I don't necessarily agree with that thought. It's just, here again, we're trying to balance that because, listen, every category in the budget could stand more money.
Oh, yeah.
You could take the $128 million and put it towards, you know, X, Y, or Z calls.
Right.
And that's, you know, something that some people want. But we're trying to be fair to everybody. We're putting more money into pay raises for state employees, merit pay raises. I think that's important. The state employees sometimes get overlooked, so it's important we're doing that. Well, of course, we're paying teachers a lot more. Going to increase teacher pay again
across the board, $3,000.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah,
and you know all that costs a lot of money. Going to definitely work on roads, potholes, fix them.
And very quickly, you had a note in your information you sent out to your constituents that I thought was interesting. Did you know that you could file a damage claim to SCDOT if your car is damaged because of a pothole or other, you know, roadblock or whatever that you hit?
Yeah.
Lots of luck with that.
I question whether I should have pushed that out there, but it's a fact. You know, I'm delivering the message.
Ooh.
And the message is if your car is damaged by hitting a pothole and you can prove it and you can prove that the state neglected to fix it after fair warning, and I don't remember the time. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks of notice or something. But, you know, if the state just continues to ignore your request, there is an opportunity to file a claim.
Sure.
I don't know. I have not filed a claim, so I don't know how that works.
Last but not least, I notice here that you, Randy Lincoln, have gotten the 2019 South Carolina Chamber Business Advocate Award. How about that?
Well,
good for you.
I appreciate it.
This all came out as they, you know, unveiled their legislative scorecard.
Right. And, you know, honored to be so recognized as just a conservative Republican in the House trying to not waste the people's money.
All right. You got 30 seconds left. What do you want to achieve this session?
Well, we've got to deal with this Sandy Cooper, and you didn't get into that.
No,
it'll take another hour.
Yes, exactly.
And I appreciate
right.
it, but that's very important that we deal with
it's very
that.
Convoluted. You really got to read through the proposals.
Yeah, and out of respect for the folks in the Lowcountry who are directly impacted with job layoffs, possibly from that and all, we've got to take that very seriously, and we got to balance balanced budget. So, you know, those are the big issues, and, of course, teachers and teacher education and our first responders. I mean, we need to take care of all those folks.
All right. State Representative Randy Lincoln, thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for the work that you're doing down there. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Anybody who's anybody knows exactly how it's done. And we're all going to bellow it out together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Yard, yard, yard.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.